Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens sitting in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder. Hope everybody is doing well on this Thursday night. You heard our next guest a little bit earlier today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And he joins the show brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. That's Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Omar, appreciate you joining the show. How's everything going today?
So this morning, Joe Rose confesses that he's broken up two engagements. Me and Troy Stafford confess that we've both been cheated on. What is the confession that you guys have brought to the table today on QM's Confession Day?
What you got, Greg?
It became, right? It was an unofficial confession day that suddenly turned into that. We did talk about Troy and that confession. I don't know, Channing, have you admitted anything today?
No, man, I'm a G, man.
Oh, Channing. A woman has never made you cry other than your mom?
Cry? No, you know what I have done? I've cried to break up with somebody to try to make them guilty before I get guilty about breaking up with them.
Wow.
You know, like you know what I'm saying? Oh, like you call a girl, you're like, hey, we're going to break up with you. So I get in the car and start crying, and she's like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, this ain't going to work, but I wish it could work. We can't do this no more.
Yeah, hold on. Were they fake tears, though? Did you produce an actual tear?
Oh, man, I'm an actor. I can pull up some tears. I cry right now.
You were cutting onions or something?
No, man. Think about how genius that is, though, because you know you're going to be the bad guy for breaking the relationship up. So you start crying before anything happens because you're so upset that y'all can't be together anymore. That's genius.
It throws them for a loop, I'm sure.
You can use that. Oh, you locked in now. But, Greg, you can use that if you need it.
Well, hopefully I won't need that anytime soon.
I hope you don't need it either, but you got to have a tool in your toolbox.
Well, I'm hoping that Troy Stafford takes your advice that you provided both off and on the air.
Yeah, he got to work on some more positions. He does.
I'm just waiting for Omar's reaction to that.
I tried a new position this week. I didn't say I was successful, but I tried one. Sometimes you got to vary it up.
Oh, yeah. Your body sometimes limits you too, man, because there's some stuff like my wife tried to pull my leg back. I'm like, hey, man, my hamstring's not built like that. I got a torn ACL. Don't put me like that, man. I got to do the other way.
Sometimes you just got to keep it, mix it up.
Omar, on that note, let's talk some Miami Dolphins football, why don't we? Hey, Omar, you did write in the Sun Sentinel about what you described as a lack of vision and boldness displayed by the Dolphins. How have you seen that manifest itself, especially this season?
If you just look at the plan that they had this offseason, you're going to get rid of Ndamukong Suh, your only defensive tackle that can really command a double team, and you're going to add Robert Quinn, to address your pass rushing. Right now you're one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. You don't have a single defensive tackle, even before the injury to Vincent Taylor, who requires a double team. Shannon, tell me what happens when four defensive linemen can be solo blocked. What happens to the linebackers?
Guys get up on them.
And one of those three linebackers going to face some traffic, right? Some going to face a center or a guard.
And it's guaranteed to be the mic. It's guaranteed to be the mic. I tell that people, their mic is always blocked. There's always a lineman that is supposed to block the mic linebacker.
Okay. So, don't be surprised. And then you go and you get small linebackers. So don't be surprised that you're last in the league and stopping the run. Don't act like it's a surprise. Oh, my God, how did we get here? You got rid of your Pro Bowl defensive tackle. Your only addition that you added was Akeem Spence. You didn't even draft a guy. You drafted two linebackers that are light in the tail, hovering around 230. Coverage specialist guys, but they can't really fill. And then Raekwon McMillan hasn't delivered what you expected he would deliver, which was to be a tackle-eating inside linebacker. So don't be surprised that you are last in the league and stopping the run. Like, this is the reality of where you are. Now, don't be surprised that your quarterback play has been mediocre this season, considering Ryan Tannehill's coming off, missed 25 games. You knew he had an injury the last 2 years. Pretty good possibility that he might get hurt again this year, right? Wasn't it? No, even though it's a different injury, it's a shoulder, there was a possibility. He's a 30-year-old quarterback. Okay. And your backup choices are Brock Osweiler, who three teams quit on last year. They just said, yeah, this guy's not good enough. One of them traded a basketball-style trade just to get rid of him, to giving away a draft pick just to get rid of him. And you have him as your starting quarterback. He's a 76 career-rated quarterback. You have him at an 86. Don't hold that up like a trophy. That's not good. And you know what? And you did nothing in the offseason. You could have drafted a quarterback instead of Durham Schmidt. You could have drafted a defensive tackle instead of Durham Schmidt. But you didn't, because you had to get a pass. You had to get a blocking tight end, because your receiving tight end, who you just knew was going to be dynamic, you know, couldn't block. So there you go. You draft a receiving tight end, and then you double down in the fourth round, a pretty good resource to use, and draft a blocking tight end who's barely played this season, barely contributed, can't really get open. And that was a resource you could have used to draft a defensive tackle. Deshaun Hand was out there. He's contributing with the Lions. You could have drafted a quarterback. Mike White is out there. He's back up in Dallas. He could have contributed for you. Where is the vision? Like, you're either bad at your job, or you lack vision as an organization.
And you brought it up a little bit there with Raekwon McMillan when you're speaking about linebackers old, because I had to ask you about him. He's frustrating me now, especially with that Aaron Williams run straight up the gut. Him and Kiko should have viced it. Kiko was actually getting off his block, but when Raekwon ran outside for no reason, it hit it right up the gut. Is he a student of the game? Because I question, does he understand fast flow, slow flow? If he understands the concept of spill and squeeze, where his help is, and run two, run away. Run two, you can hit your gap. Run away, you have to float to clean up any spillage out the front or the backside. I don't see him understanding those three concepts. That's why I wanted to ask you, is he a student of the game? Is he a film guy? Because watching him now for, you know, a couple games now, a damn, 10 games now, he doesn't seem like it, though.
He is a student of the game. He's a pretty smart player. At least that's the story that we were told in the draft. And I can't sit here and tell you that he doesn't come across as an intelligent guy. He's playing like a rookie. He is technically a rookie. And the question is, you keep waiting for that light bulb to come on and show you that, hey, I'm learning from my mistakes, but it's not happening, or it's not happening fast enough. You know, I get it. They took him off. You know, Jerome Baker's playing better, in my opinion, and I think it's in their opinion as well, because, you know, the guy's a third down. He's not a three-down linebacker. Kiko Alonso's having a Pro Bowl year. But, you know, how could you justify what you're seeing there at that position, considering that they're the worst team stopping the run in the NFL? And every team's priority, number one, is can you stop the run? Do we need to stop the run? And if you can't do your number one priority, everything else is faulty.
Omar Kelly, columnist and Dolphins beat writer from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. While we're on the defensive side of the ball, Omar, we've seen Minkah Fitzpatrick play all over the defense. Where would you ideally like to see him long-term for this team?
Long-term, I would like to see him at free safety. I think his intelligence, his range, his ability to diagnose, like that is a position that's been troublesome for the Dolphins for a couple of years. I mean, name me the last guy who played free safety well next to Rashad Jones. I would Issa Abdul-Kaddous lasted half a year. That position is hard to find, and I think something I saw from Will Blackman, I believe it was, with the Redskins, and retweeted out, he put together two pictures side by side. He showed his notebook when he was playing cornerback. He had three notebooks. That was the challenge that he was facing at cornerback, which is basically cover your man, know your assignment. And then he showed the notebooks that he had when he was playing, when he switched to safety. And there were like 20 of them, and for each opponent. And to me, the intelligent aspect, people underestimate the intelligent aspect. I could tell you for a fact, Channing Crowder was a successful Dolphin starting linebacker because Channing Crowder is an intelligent player. I could go down the list of people that I've covered with the Dolphins. I could tell you Deion Jordan, outside of the drug issues, Deion Jordan was not a successful Dolphins player because he was a box of rocks. And intelligence is very important in football. And those who usually have it succeed. Free safety is the quarterback of the defense, and you have to have an intelligent guy to play that position. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. And that's why I think that even though cornerback is a more ideal position, when Nick Saban looked at him and he played cornerback and said, you're not really a boundary. We've got other guys to play that. We're going to make you an impact player at free safety. Why would the Dolphins do anything different than that? I know you have him playing cornerback now out of need and necessity because another shortcoming of your roster where you don't have another cornerback. You only got two. But you have to look at where is his best position going to be. Is he going to have more success at free safety, or is he going to have more success at cornerback? And I really do believe he's playing well, and he's got a low quarterback rating. But let's not pretend like he's handling a heavy load. How often did you see him defending Jimmy Graham or Devontae Adams? You know, Xavier Howard handles the heavy workload for the cornerbacks, and Minka is benefiting off locking down the lesser player. And props to him for doing it, because a lot of cornerbacks could not do it and have not done it. But let's calm down on this Minka can be a shutdown cornerback type kind of talk.
Brock Marion. That's my name.
But he never played with Rashad. Brock Marion was a good
one. Brock was a monster.
A
I played with Tabucky. Yeah, Tabucky Jones was here for a while. I don't know if you think he was something, but
he was a good strong safety. Yeah, he was a good strong safety.
Big old
I'm talking about free safety. The free safety. You did. You're right. You named the last good free safety.
Yeah.
No, I'd say Ronaldo Hill. Ronaldo Hill played.
Ronaldo could play.
Hell of a.
But to that knee. Once he started hurting his knees, that's when it started going downhill. But you're right. He was smart as hell, him and YB back there.
It's the intelligence to me that makes the difference in at that position. Him and YB, they were good. I'm not saying YB was a great safety, strong safety.
Strong safety.
You know, you need a free safety. This team hasn't had a good free safety, and I couldn't even tell you how long. And I know Rashad is back there playing that position, but everybody in the world knows Rashad is a strong safety.
And, I've heard you talk about it, though. I don't know if you're, you know, foreshadowing, but to say that Minka's going to be the free safety sooner or later, would you say that is going to happen with Rashad not being on his team any longer?
Oh, yeah. I think Rashad, you know, what's happened and this divide, unless they start the kumbaya together, I see Rashad being traded. I love where Rashad is right now because, thank God, he got his contract. You know, he got his contract. Rashad is on. You realize Rashad got two mega contracts from the Dolphins, right?
Oh, I really got that. He got that sack now.
Yeah. He got that second contract, and that contract features guaranteed money, and I'm proud of him for doing that because players rarely ever get in a position where they can swing that hammer. And right now, Rashad is swinging that hammer. You don't want to you don't want to play nice with Rashad. You go on ahead and act a fool if you want, but that money, that $9.1 million is guaranteed, baby. You can act a fool all you want, but you have to answer and be accountable to Rashad Jones.
Omar Kelly, columnist and Dolphins beat writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, on the offensive side of the ball, Omar, I know it's kind of a guessing game at this point, but based on what you've heard from Adam Gase, what you heard from Ryan Tannehill finally spoke last week, what is your best guess on when we'll see Tannehill play again for this team?
I think it'll be Buffalo. I don't think there's a chance that he's going to be throwing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I don't think there's a chance he's going to throw for 4 days and then play on Sunday and at a high level without arm soreness, you know, after having not thrown for a month. I think the more realistic thing, he'll start for the Bills than he will the Colts, but knowing Ryan, he's going to push it. He's going to try. I hope he's successful, but this is about putting him on the field and having him be successful, because what about if you put him out there against the Colts and he's got dead arm? He can't throw a 15-yard out. He looks like Matt Schaub. Remember when Matt Schaub lost his arm and was out there throwing pick sixes? That's the worst fear, because the minute Ryan does that, not only is his tenure with the Dolphins over, but his career might be over. In terms of being a starter, like somebody will pay him to be a backup somewhere. But once you start Matt Schaub in it, there's no turning back. And you're going to have to do a whole lot to convince people that your arm won't fall apart again. So I don't think they put him out there until he's relatively pain-free. At the earliest, in my opinion, is Buffalo. But, hey, he's trying for the Colts. We'll see how he practices. I'll have a better assessment when I finally see him throw a football, which hopefully will be Monday.
So I was going to ask you about that, and you corrected me because I was looking at the salary cap, and it was $26 million next year, and you told me, I was listening earlier, it's 18.7, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
18.7. Yeah. Oh, that's still a lot of damn money to play a guy that you don't know if he's going to be healthy. But I was going to ask you, but you kind of hit on it. You haven't gave up on Tannehill's body because I was okay with the knee. I was okay with the knee recovering, oh,
yeah.
But now with the shoulder capsule, man, I'm starting to slowly lean away from trusting his physical health.
I know he's a hard worker. I know he's a durable guy. This is one of those instances. We're not talking about Devontae Parker. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a guy who he took. That was a hard hit. Go back and look at that hit Carlos Dunlap put on him, where his arm was up in the air. He just busted him in a grill. And you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt playing football. You're going to get hurt taking these physical hits. Now, do I know if he'll ever be back to where he once was? I don't know, but I trust Ryan. I believe in Ryan. No, I don't believe in him like that, but I believe that he's going to be healthy and he's going to do what it takes. Like, Ryan isn't out here playing for money. Ryan's out here playing because he loves the game and for pride, and that's where I respect him. That, like, I will never – Chad Henne, man, that boy was a crumb. Ryan Tannehill is not a crumb. And he's a hard worker, and he's fearless. Now, is he very good? No, but he has everything that he needs to be very good. The question is, can somebody bring it out of him? Now, you know, I know it's funny that I have to sit here in this position, but you're not done with him. Like, how could you, as Dolphin fans, you've invested 7 years in him. How could you all of a sudden, because you saw him play two bad games against the Patriots and the Bengals, be done with him? Like, he had 300 rated games right before he got, you know, he went back to Ryan Tannehill. And you know he's going to be hot and he's going to be cold. He's going to be hot and he's going to be cold. And it averages out to average. But I do believe that he was going to give you more hot than he was going to give you cold this year. And everybody's just off the train, and I really don't understand it. Like, you sat here patiently waiting for 7 years. You never gave the man any kind of competition. And now, all of a sudden, because he's got a capsule injury, and because, you know, he had a team that was 3-2, you're off the train. You're done. You're finished. You're out. Like, did your marriage with 7 years to you? What about the kids you had together?
I was just gonna tell you. Oh, I think maybe the relationship was rocky. You know, maybe he was hanging out too late at night. He wasn't coming home, and now he started talking to me nasty. And now, you know, now he's not even paying the bills like he used to. I just think the injuries are just another knock on people that did question Tannehill.
Okay, I mean, you didn't need much. I mean, he wasn't the best husband in the world, but I need the best husband.
Oh, there's a lot of fish out there in the sea. I got to find me a good man.
What fish? Crowder, what fish?
A fish called Teddy Bridgewater fish. I want me a skinny-legged guy from down here named Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to treat me right. Buy me edible arrangements.
So let me ask you this question. Are you going to give Teddy Bridgewater $12 to $14 million a year? Are you going to give $24 million to him?
Oh, right, two years for 24?
Yes, 2 years for 24.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with that. Teddy Bridgewater, okay. 2 years for 24. And we can draft a young guy. Oh, I have no problem with that. Because 12 is what, a fourth of what some of these quarterbacks are making?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm being conservative because 12 is my baseline. I hear people say that it's going to cost more than 12. I don't think they're realistic because I think Teddy Bridgewater is in Cleveland. Tyrod Taylor, yeah. I think he's in the Tyrod Taylor conversation where you're going to get $12 or $14 million. I mean, people act like these quarterbacks, you know, look at the guy in Minnesota. He didn't break the bank. You know, he got a nice, healthy deal, and that was after leading the team to the playoffs. Here we go last year. Teddy Bridgewater got $8 million. Like, people act like he was out here breaking the bank, like, because he sits the bench and had some good exhibition games. People going to give him $14 million. I don't think that's true. But I would feel comfortable enough giving him 12. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you're gonna pay 12. You can clear 12. Now, if other teams are out there bidding and put a higher offer, let's say Jacksonville or Tampa want to put a higher offer on Teddy, okay, do you want to go with Jameis Winston? Do you want to go with Sam Bradford? Do you want to go with Eli Manning? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go with Tyrod Taylor? Like, what you going to do, Crowder? What you going to do?
Ew, that list you just told me, throw that list in the garbage. I don't want no Eli. You can't bring Jameis to South Florida. Jameis gets in trouble in Tampa. There ain't nothing in Tampa but Odyssey 2001. Yeah, put that list down. Just give me Teddy, man. We'll give him 12-5. Give me Teddy.
Omar, we appreciate the time as always and encourage everybody to follow you on Twitter at Omar Kelly, read you in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Thanks for the thoughts and the insight as always. And thanks for confessing everything earlier today as well. You made for some entertaining radio.
We will be back on QAM, me and Troy tomorrow from 10 to 2. I'm going to have a confession segment. So everybody, come to the table with your confession.
There you go. You heard it here first. Listen tomorrow, 10 to 2. Thanks so much, Omar. All right, there he is. Omar Kelly brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll be back right after this.